Sometimes actually I get annoyed when you go speak to a confession father and he says, well, go and pray about it. You know, I see the people and they say, well, you know, I went to him and he just said pray about it. You know, just the same answer. What we don't understand is the most important tool, the most powerful tool we have is prayer. Because prayer is communicating. There is no greater being. There is no greater thing in the world. God is the greatest one in the world. God is the creator of everything. He made me. He created me. He created the world. He created everything around me. And so therefore, He's the one who knows exactly what the solution should be for what I'm doing. And when I'm able to speak to Him, then He gives me answers. So the problem is not in prayer. The problem is sometimes in how we pray. Because we sometimes think, and we look at, we think, well, what am I doing? I'm praying. I feel like I'm speaking to no one, to air. I feel like I'm getting no response. So how do I do this? How do I get something out of it? There are two solutions. The first solution is just forget about it. Don't pray. There's no need. It didn't work last time. It didn't work the time before. It's not working now. There's no point. And yes, of course, it's an option. But is it really a solution? Does it fix anything? To turn away from prayer, to turn away from God, to not go to Him, to not seek Him, how's that going to help me? It's not. It's not going to help me at all, actually. If anything, it makes things much worse. So what's the solution? Well, let's think about it. Anything you do in life, if there's something you don't know how to do, what do you do about it? You learn. Right? You learn. You go and you seek someone's advice. You tell someone you need help. You tell someone to step in. You learn. And so what we need to do with prayer is let's learn to pray. Now these are very difficult times. Typical times in Egypt, with the way the politics are going and the world is going, difficult time in the church because we're all anxious about who's our new pope going to be, how is it going to happen. There's difficult times around the world because of financial crisis, because of job cuts, because of debts, because of mortgages, because of famine, because of wars, because of lack of peace. So much. How do we solve all of this? We pray about it. Praying is not just to pass the buck. When we say prayer, I don't mean pretend like it's not happening and just ignore it. That's not prayer. Prayer is going to God and saying to God, Lord, there is this big thing in our lives. There is this big thing in our church. There is this big thing in our country. And as much as people are trying to find solutions, we can't find solutions. So we're here to speak to you about it. But as I said, well, sometimes we don't know what to say. And there's a beautiful passage in the Gospel of St. Luke, Chapter 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he, as our Lord, was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John has taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. So if you don't know how to pray, pray, if I don't know how to pray, if we don't know what's going on, if we don't know what to do, if we don't know what to say, let's go to our Lord Himself and say, Lord, teach us to pray. You're saying that prayer is speaking to you. You have said to us, you've said to us quite clearly, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You said to us, seek and you will find, knock and it will be answered. You said all of that. So, I'm now coming to you, and I'm saying to you, Lord, I'm here. I'm seeking, I'm asking, I'm knocking, I'm begging. Whatever it takes. I've been trying to pray to you, I don't get anything out of it. I've been trying to communicate with you, I don't feel I get an answer. Teach me to pray. There are various ways that you pray. And there's not one way that is going to suit everyone. And that's why in our church, we have a wonderful ability to have all of these prayers. There are various kinds of prayers. We've got liturgical and sacramental prayers, like the Mass, Asheia, the Liturgy, Vespers, Matins. We've got communal prayers, ordered prayers, like the Agabeo when we use it. We've got communal general prayers, when we come together with a prayer meeting and raise our hearts together. We have personal prayers in our own rooms with our Agabeas. We also have personal spontaneous prayers, just lifting your heart to God. Just seeking what he wants and saying to him and speaking to him. And then we have one type of prayer that our fathers, the monastic movement, have always taught us, and that is the life of constant prayer. That our hearts are always communicating with God. Our hearts are always speaking to him. In one of those, at least, you will find how to pray. You will find something that gives you comfort. You will find a way to engage. You will find a way to lift up your heart and make your petitions known. Not with anxiety, not with fear, but to stand and say, Lord, I need you in my life. If you look at any of our church prayers, and this is something I'm sure you all know. All of our church prayers start with love. They start with thanksgiving. To give thanks to God. And so when I first stand before God, I remember what I have to give thanks for. And that in itself is very good. Because one thing we don't do very well is give thanks. We often don't remember the good things. Remember the difficult things. Remember the problems. Remember what we don't have. But we don't remember what we do have. We don't remember how much God has given us. Of course, we remember what we don't have from God and what He has not given us. And so, to start by giving thanks in the first place is very therapeutic. It helps. It builds us. It supports us. It gets us to think in a very different way. It makes me sit down and think, so what do I have to give thanks for? Well, actually, I have a few things. I have people around me. I have my health. We all have things to give thanks for. I'll give you one thing that we probably don't think about. Now, if you look at our bodies, us as humans, we're flesh and blood. When you get up in the morning and you start to breathe, That is not an actual act. But you get up in the morning, you open your eyes, you're still breathing, your heart is still pumping, your organs are still working. That's not natural. Because what is natural for our body is to decay. The mere fact that we still have breath, the mere fact that we have health, the mere fact that we wake up in the morning is a gift from God. Now, I'm sure we don't sit around and say, well, I just woke up. Thank you, God, for allowing me to wake up. But if you look at our prayers, we start by saying, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to pass through this night. Right? We all have many people in our lives. And for those, we need to give thanks. There are people we don't appreciate. There are people we don't really know. There are people we don't pay much attention to. But we take them for granted. And I think we're all guilty of this. I, you, all of us. We often end up taking people closest to us for granted. We don't appreciate them. We don't think about them enough. The people who are most supportive, the people who are closest to us, we're so used to having them there that we just think, well, fine, they're there. They're great. Wonderful. But think about how many times they've supported. And think about how thankful we should be. So there's always something to be thankful for when we pray. Always. There's always something to be thankful for. There's always something to be thankful for because our lives are so diverse and they're so complex and there's so much to them. But if we think hard enough, if we think closely enough, we'll find lots to be thankful for. But sometimes it's difficult for us to do that. Difficult for us to even think. Why? Because we consider prayer as being, okay, it's I'm now going home, I've got to sit and I've got to pray, alright, I've got about 10 minutes to go. So 10 minutes, what do I do when I pray? Well, okay, let's open my Bible a little bit, let's read a few lines. Lord, thank you for giving me lots of things, and I pray that you're with me today, and please feed the hungry and heal the sick, and oh God, you know what I've got now. I'm really sorry, but I'll catch up with you later. I believe. Now, if you treated your best friend like that, wouldn't really be your best friend for very much longer. If we treated people around us like that, they wouldn't keep dealing with us. But God is kind, and He knows that we're sometimes a little bit useless. And He's willing to accept us, even while being useless, with the hope that we won't always be useless. With the hope that we're going to be better. With the hope that we'll develop, that we'll grow. Because that's what fathers do. Fathers love their children unconditionally. Prayer needs to be a time that is set aside. Yes, we said all of those things about the constant prayer, communal prayer, all of those things. But our Lord gives us a secret hint in Matthew 6:6 when He says, and when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. Take some time out and pray. Our lives are very busy. I have no doubt that your lives are busy. Whatever you're doing, if you're studying, if you're working, if you're at home, you're doing various things. Your lives are busy, I know they are. And we're all busy doing different things. But being busy is not an excuse not to spend time with God. We're never too busy to grieve. We're never too busy to eat, or drink, or sleep. We're never too busy to do the things that are essential in our lives. And prayer is essential. Being with God is essential. It's not optional. We often deal with the concept of being with God. If, you know, I can be with Him or not be with Him. I can spend time or not spend time. It's nice if I can, but if I can't, I'm really sorry. It's not the way it is at all. It is essential. It is critical. Our Lord says to us, I am the way, the truth, and life. He is life. Over this weekend, at the convention, we spoke about our Lord saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. If any branch is cut off from the vine, it withers and it dies and is cast aside. If we have no connection with God, then we wither and we die and we're cast aside. And prayer is the essential connection we have with God. Now, I could have come here tonight and spoken to you about something much more appealing, much more edgy, much more, you know, extreme on the adventurous side. But I find more and more that we speak about so many complicated and complex things, and we forget the basics. We forget the very real basics. The basic that says that without God I have nothing. The basic that says if I don't spend time with Him, then I'm lost. If I don't invest in a relationship with Him, then I have nothing. Are we ready to make that investment or not? Ready to spend time with Him or not? Are we ready to share our lives with Him or not? And I mean share our lives with Him. Because what happens is we're created, and God gives us our life and He says, here you are. This is your life. These are your gifts. Very much like the parable of the stewards. Here are 5 talents. Here are your talents. Take these talents, work with them, invest them. But you know what? They're not just yours. Take them and work with them, and I'll come back one day, and I'll ask you to give account. What do? We take it and we run. It's like, for instance, a woman's going out of town. So he says to you, listen, here are the keys to the church, a beautiful church. Here are the keys to the church. I want you to look after it until I come back. So he says, of course I will. I'd love to. It's a great honor, a great risk. Well, thank you very much for trusting me. So the woman gives you the keys and he goes out of town. So you sort of decide, well, what do we do with the church? Let's build some rooms here, and let's put up another floor there, and let's have a big screen so we can play our video games right there. And let's rent out this building because we don't really need it. Let's get someone to set up a shop over here. And we reorganize this whole church. Can anyone do that? Why? Because it's not yours. He didn't say, here, here's your church. This is now your church alone. So you do what you want with it. This is the church of everyone who's here. Everyone, as a member of this parish, is part of this church, and this church belongs to them. I can't suddenly make a unilateral decision and do things. Likewise, when God gives us our life, I can't suddenly take and say, well, thank you, God. Thank you for the life. I'll just, I'm really grateful. Very generous gift. Thank you very much. I'll take it. Then I'll sort of section it off. I'll take my heart. I'll give a bit of my heart to the world. You can have a little bit of my heart. My mind will go over here. My will will go over here. My desires will go over here. We can't do that. Because it's not ours. We are entrusted with it. And God will come and seek what we've done. He'll come and say to you, I've given you this beautiful life. What have you done with it? Well, Lord, I just got all things. Did you consult with me once? Did you come and speak to me and say, Lord, this beautiful life you've given me, what do I do with it now? Did you ask my opinion? Did you seek my advice? Did you request my help? Did you do anything about it? Or was it just, here it is, take it, and I take it, and I run with it, and I do whatever I want it. There's a warning here, and that is, with all the turmoil and all the busyness and all the things we have to go through, there is also something you must realize. That with that comes a lot of anxiety, comes a lot of fear, comes being unsure. What do I do now? You make a decision, you become anxious. Something happens, you're not sure. Did I make the right decision? Did I not? Should I not have done things? Should I just sit still? Should I do something? Should I not do something? And that anxiety starts to eat away at us. But see, there's an answer to that. And that is Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. Don't let anything make you anxious. Because anxiety is a waste of time. I know it sounds like a very rational thing to do, but to say, you know, if I knew that, I wouldn't be anxious. But maybe, I just don't know how to deal with things. I'm not sure about this country, but in England, at the moment, we are health and safety mad. Right? Everything has a health and safety policy. Everything has a way of doing things. Everything has a health and safety strategy. So technically, every time we gather people into a place like this, like a church, like a hall, we need to make those announcements that you hear on the plane, which are, you will find exits in the front and the back, and the sides, if anything happens, the exit signs will go on, go out this way, go out that way. Right? Well, we think that's a little bit strange. It makes sense. Why? Because if something happens, you don't want to be surprised. If no one points out the exits, and no one points out where you need to gather, and no one points out what you need to do, something happens, we start running around. And by doing that, we become anxious. We can hurt ourselves, and we can hurt other people. But if I have a plan, and that is, when something happens in your life, point one, reminder one, be anxious for nothing, calm down. Point two, in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let everything be known to God. So therefore, when something happens in my life, rather than the first thing I do being to run around like a headless chicken, being to just bounce around and not do anything, and become anxious, and become frantic, and become angry, and become abusive, and start shouting at people, and start throwing things around, and start kicking things. The first thing is, stop. What's wrong? Lord, something's a problem here. I don't know what to do. Okay, wait. What is your problem? Lord, I've got this exam tomorrow. I have this job interview. I have this problem I need to fix. I'm not feeling well. I think when someone in my family is sick, I've got this payment I can't make. I have this thing I can't do. Lord, what do I do about it? With everything, let it be made known to God. pray about it. And you might think, well, what happens when I pray? What do I do when I pray? It's quite simple. God will answer. But how is he going to answer? How is he going to answer is a different question. What you must know, however, is that God will answer. How he will answer is something you need to start to understand. Because God will answer each and every one of you in very different ways than to answer me. There isn't one clear way. God will answer us in ways that are specific to us. Because God knows us more than anybody else. And so, I need to understand him. I need to get to know him. I need to say to him, Lord, fine. I'm here, I want to know, I'm praying to you, I'm lifting up my heart. I want to know what your opinion is. But there's a step before that. Let's face it. What's your name?
Sarah.
Okay. Have you met me before? No. Sarah hasn't met me before. So, if you have something to talk about, are you going to be able to say, listen, I have this really big thing in my life, I'd like to talk to you about it now? No. Why? Because you don't know me. You haven't met me before. You're not going to be comfortable. Although, one of the fathers, you'll be able to speak to him. It's your confession form. You might ask me a question, and I will try to explain something to you, and I'll say, you know, in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you may still not understand what I'm getting at. You go to a ruler who knows you better, and from the first word, he understands you, so he knows what you want. You understand him, so by his response, you're going to get a great clear answer. Right? Does that make sense to you? It happens in our communication with our confession fathers. It happens in our communications with each other. That's exactly what happens. It's basically the fact that we have to get to know God first. And this concept of prayer is built around knowing God. Because when God responds, and as I said, he will, God does not make promises he does not keep. Because our Lord says, ask and it will be answered. Don't say, well, maybe, well, sometimes, well, if I feel like it. Ask and it will be answered. If you ask me something, I will ask you. Categorically. There is no debate about it. There is no if, there is no but. It will happen. And so when we get to know him more, we get to understand him more, we spend more time with him. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time just in silence, in quiet. Spend more time seeking what he wants to say to us. And that takes practice. It takes time. It doesn't just happen. Unfortunately, this generation is a very blessed generation in that everything happens very quickly. Everything is there at your fingertips. If you want to know anything, you know, it's only a few years ago that if you wanted to know certain information, you would probably have to go to a library and look up an index in a book. Do you remember what those are? Books. They're about this big and they float. And look at the index. Index is the one at the back that has lots of words. And look at the word you want and then go and find the book on a shelf, which is a piece of metal or wood that books stand on like that. And pick out the right book. book and read. Now, it's Google. And that's a great thing, because any information you want, you'll type it in, press a button, and you have a million entries. It's there. In the days of your ancestors, many, many years ago, if they wanted to eat, they would have to go out and club the animal first. Then bring it back and cook it. And then we had the invention of the butcher. So somebody else would have clubbed the animal and brought it back. Now, you want to eat, you've got a pizza. And it'll be there in 30 minutes for your money back. And everything is very quick. Heaven forbid that you should be on your computer. And I'm sorry if I traumatize you, just prepare for this. And you hit the button, and suddenly it says refreshing or buffering. Because that's traumatic. If you don't get instant response, if it delays for a minute, then the world is going to stand still. Doesn't your internet provider understand that if you don't get this piece of information instantly, the world could stop? That's what we're used to. It's how we live now. We want everything, you know, if we could have it yesterday, have it yesterday. We have a running joke with people who serve with me that, you know, the only thing I can't possibly request of them is to have something yesterday, because time just doesn't allow it. But the minute there is time travel, they're preparing themselves to do things yesterday, because that's what I wanted. And we want to do the same thing. We want things immediately. But you can't have things immediately without investing. You couldn't have had the big Google search engine without someone going in and actually preparing it and making it visible on your computer. You couldn't get your pizza unless someone put the system in and someone makes it and someone drives it to the front door. You cannot get instant response to prayer unless you put in the time to get to know God and you put everything before Him. Otherwise, I'm not going to understand. He may be responding immediately. He may be telling me. He may be explaining to me. But because I'm on a different frequency, I just don't understand. Lord, what are you trying to say? I'm speaking to you. But I can't hear you. I don't understand. And it's because I'm thinking of something completely different, in a different way. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 41. This is when our Lord went into Gethsemane and said to His disciples, "Pray with me." And came back and He found them asleep. He said to them, "What shall we pray lest you enter into temptation? The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak." He didn't just say, "Watch." He didn't just say, "Pray." He said, "Watch and pray. Be aware of the environment around you. Be aware of the world around you. Be aware of what's going on. And pray at the same time. Because with that combination, God will then be able to direct you. With that combination, God will be able to let you know what He wants of you. And the answer is actually quite important. Watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. If you're not watching, if you're not praying, the answer is you're going to fall into temptation. Why? Because if you're not watching, the enemy will creep up on you. If you're not praying, then you're not being supported and you're not placing things before God. If I were to ask you, what's the first thing you do in a time of trouble? People say lots of things. You call someone, you run somewhere, you do something. But there's a beautiful passage in Psalm 55, verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. It doesn't say maybe, it doesn't say possibly. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. So there's a joint effort here. On my part, I call upon God. On his part, he saves me. And that's the ideal relationship. God wants to be in a relationship with us. God wants to do things with us. With us. Not just for us, against our will, but with us. And as time goes on, as we give ourselves to this concept of prayer, I'll understand more and more and more. I'll be able to relate to it more. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with understanding. Pray with understanding. Don't pray randomly without trying to understand. Invest time in understanding. Invest time in understanding God. And even more importantly, invest time in trying to understand yourself. What do I want to get out of this? What makes me react the way I react? What makes me angry? What makes me nervous? What makes me anxious? What scares me? What makes me happy? We sometimes don't know ourselves. And so we don't have to pray for. If I don't know myself, what am I going to pray for? What am I going to pray about? You see, we've seen the power of prayer at the most difficult of times. Think about the apostles. They followed the Lord for 3 years, and then he was taken, crucified, died on the cross, stayed with them 40 days, and said to them, I'm going to leave you now. I'm going to leave you now. I'm come back to you. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And you'll go out and you'll do lots of things. What do we do? The apostles in Acts 6:4 said what? That we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry. They gave themselves continually to prayer. Not just sometimes, not just when it got tough, not just when it was critical, they gave themselves continually to prayer. In everything, when they were happy, when they were sad, when they were tired, when they were energetic, when they were successful, when they failed, continually. How many of us would do that? We pray conditionally. We'll pray more when we need something, when we want something, when we feel like we are abandoned, we have something we can't do. Use the example of the little red button next to every window. What's that? Emergency button. What happens? In case of emergency, click on the glass. In case of emergency, break the glass, press the button. Alarm goes off, things happen. I was telling you about this is the convention of the living of God. We keep him behind glass, visible. I can see him, you can see him anywhere. But I'll make him visible. Lord, unless I need you. When I need to pray, I'll break the glass for prayer. But as long as I don't need it, I'm fine. You just stay there. I know where you are. I know where I can find you.
times of difficulty will come to you. And if that combination occurs, it brings a lot. Because what we do is what we read in Psalm 109. There is for me, I give myself to prayer. I give myself to communicating with God. I give myself to communicating with Him at every level. Because I love Him. And because I know He loves me. Because I need Him. And because I know He wants to help me. Because I have no one else but Him. I give myself to Him. I give myself to prayer. I ask His counsel. I ask Him to step in. I ask Him to explain to me. So in conclusion, I want to tell you this. That as we started, prayer is not always easy. Not always straightforward. We have those two options. Either forget it, turn your back on it, ignore it, or go to the Lord and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Here I am. Teach me to pray. I'm going to go into my inner room. I'm going to close my door. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to kneel here. I'm going to be before you. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm going to place all things before you with thanksgiving. I'm going to watch constantly and pray constantly because I don't want to fall into temptation, because I know that if I do, Satan can overcome me. And because I do this, I'm going to pray without ceasing. Because you're always my support. You're always letting me know. I'm going to pray continually. Whether in my room, in my car, when I'm walking, you're going to be on my mind all the time. I'm going to seek you and want you. And I'm going to give myself to you and to prayer. That through this and in this, I will find the answer to all things you want me to find. I'll be guided by your Spirit. I'll be empowered by you. I'll be saved by you in everything I do. I'll be guided in every decision, every thought. And above all, I'll be yours. And I'll place myself before you. Because as my faithful Father, I know you will never turn your back on me. If I ask, you will answer. If I knock, you will open. If I seek you, I am sure, according to your promise, that I will find you. And glory be to God forever. Just take a moment to put your hands and reflect on that, please. Invest your time in healing and healing yourself. Thank you. Two more. Yes. Prayer should not be an emergency. Prayer should be constant and unceasing, and we should not use it as an emergency button. Last one.
About the paper selection process, there's no secret password. If you go to our website, proxycenter.com,
for a complete explanation, including the timeline and everything else. Do you have that? Do you have that actually? Can you get the contact center of the conference? Now? I link on the website as well. And basically, if you look at the days of his resurrection when he came in, the late Pope Kyrgios passed away in March as the president. And we finished the process in November, end of November, 24th. This year, I think we're going to finish maybe a month later. It's just taken extra month. So it's not very much longer. And the reason for the length this time is because the church is much bigger in the world. If you get the papal selection process, and then if you scroll down, it has all the explanation there. Keep scrolling to the end, all the way to the end, and you'll find a timeline. If you click on the timeline, it says there. It actually explains to you exactly what happens. The reason it's been a bit longer this time is because the church is so much bigger. We're talking about, in the days of Fukushima, and Pope Kuros, there were, I think, three churches outside of Egypt. Now we have over 500. And we wanted to merge everyone. We wanted to make everyone have a part. The diocese, at the time there were 25 bishops, they're now 85. So that's the thing, that's why it's taking longer. There's no problem, it's just, and the process is very fixed. And in the next steps, if you go back, please. Back again, just go to the home, to the plan page again. And then up the top where it says paper selection process, that line is between the cross. Then if you click on that and you scroll down, it tells you, so these are the accounts of them.
دي الأسامي اللي مترشحة؟
دي الأسامي اللي مترشحة؟ بعدين صحيحتها؟
دي الأسامي اللي مترشحة اللي أعلنت الأسبوع اللي فات بس. If you go up there, please. So these are the 17 names that have been nominated. If you go up to the base.
والأوردرز إيه هنا؟ Are they ordered على حسب الـ nominations الأمونت ولا مش شرط؟
لا.
Just random, yeah.
This is the personal recommendation. The dates here are what's going to happen in the coming session. Do you have a pointer? Do you have a pointer?
Okay. No.
So the 14th of September is when the dates are announced. The 15th to the 30th is the challenge is much to come. First to the 3rd, we've got a fast from the whole church. On the 3rd, the nominations committee will go in, into seclusion, in a monastery, and start to break down those 17 to 5%. The nominations committee is 18 people, we have 9 bishops, and 9 members of the general day council. But any of the question, thank you. If you have this up and that's up and that's up, or this up and that's up and that's up. We'll make one together, and you look at the room, we all have a shame. Once you get to 5 to 7, if we go down, we have another church-wide fast just before the election, because the papal election is on the 24th of November. Mm-hmm. And then we have another fast, and on the 2nd of December, it's going to be Autumn, where one of the three names is picked. And I think then, the only thing we didn't put because it wasn't sure, is the enthronement. The enthronement will probably be, I would say, the weekend of the 16th of December or the weekend of the 23rd of December.
Okay.
So by that stage, we'll have a new pope. So by the 2nd, we will know who the pope is.
طب هو في سؤال تاني يعني المعلومة اللي سمعناها ان مش من حق الأساقفة يبقوا مرشحين للكرسي الباباوي ايه مدى صحة حاجة زي كده وكمان لو القرعة الهيكلية ليه ما يبقاش فيها ورقة فاضية ده برضو
من معرفة ما هي عندنا في مفهومين من معرفة يقول ما كانش سنة في روابط وفشاك ما كانش حاجة يقول أسقف ما يفشاش من معرفة كانت بيتعامل مع حكمة الأسقف ما يفشاش من كرسي كرسي كم بمعرفة doesn't speak about whether bishops can be nominated or not nominated. Campbell speaks about the transferring of a bishop from one seat to another. And they said that it shouldn't be done, except if there is a need. But here, I will go wrong, woman in the head also for Kusi Kusi. Our problem is that for some reason, in the 1957 statute, it says that bishops can be nominated. المشكلة الرئيسية علشان موثقة من الرمال الشعر لحوالي نمشي عكسها ممكن حد يقوم فممكن حد يشاهد الشعر ممكن حد صحفي ممكن حد يطعم ويقول لك أنت مش بحق المشكلة أصحف الشعر فإحنا لازم نضيف so therefore we have to add the balance of bishops because the statute actually says to us that they have to meet that this is something hopefully this will be fixed
وهو طب السؤال الثاني بدل ما يبقى سؤال ثالث يعني اللي هو بتاع دي الورقه البيضه تقترح مش مرحب بيها ما فيش اي حاجه تمنع ولا توافق يعني ما فيش حاجه تمنعها دي حاجه اصل
there's one idea that someone had on stage, that when we finish, in the last process, we have three names are placed on the altar, and we pray a liturgy that one name is put on. Someone on stage suggested we put a fourth piece of paper to the bank.
Yeah.
That's a recent idea, Satan. That's a recent idea. That's a recent idea, I mean? The one of these. It wasn't the history.
There was never a story from there. The problem is, that you would have to start this process all over again, right from the beginning. If one person is picked, what do you do? You start all over again from the nominations to the scrutiny, so you're going to go through these 10, 11 months again before we reach the solution. And historically, it wasn't there. We had a leader, had to have a start of Africa with the Russian.
كان في حاجة اسمه أقباط 38 لائحة 38 انتهالي ان يجب برضو معترضين على موضوع مطار مصر يترشحوا طب ما دول برضو ممكن يطعموا يعني انا اللي انا
شخص اللائحة المطار مصر يترشحوا هو ممكن يطعم كدبات بس ما يطعم يعني هو ممكن يقول هو مطلوب بناء على لا معنى بس ما يقدرش يطلع من قانون ما مش مزيفة بص هو ممكن تقدرش
كان في بطار كان فادي مطار يعني قبل الباو كروس افكت واز امبا ماكسيموس
كان
مطار
كان
في
شويه
ريسك جدا حتى
بعد يعني اكيد These adventures are need to fix it, but I think they'll be fixed when we have a network for a and I think all of us are struggling to make this real, because we're talking about something that was fixed in 1957, and we're trying to apply it in 2011. The world is a very different thing. For instance, it says that a voter must be at least 35 years of age and earn, because this must be sorted, people, you know, earn at least £400 a month, which is nothing at the moment. So you're trying to apply it as well.
Saying that the anxious for nothing.
لا بس بس كان في آية ثانية اللي هو ما هو يعني لما أنا أفكر في حاجة زي كده ما هو ربنا هيعمل معاك مش لا مش ليك ولا ضدك معاك فيعني أنا عايز أعرف إحنا يعني إحنا سألنا السؤال ده كذا مرة قبل كده بس الإجابة ما تقلقش وسيب ده لربنا وحاسس إن إحنا الشعب إحنا كنيسة
It brought